Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
He's cracking up.
Could you hear it though?
Yeah, I could.
I saw everybody.
Land down under.
Everybody was like, it's Tater, it's Tater.
My God, that's so funny.
I haven't perfected it. That's the rough draft. So welcome, you're blushing a little. I hope you feel special because you are the special guest tonight.
I do feel very special after that intro.
Well, you are very special, and I know that chat loves you, and I know I'm happy to see you here on panel tonight.
Thank you.
So we're totes going to be going over the Watts case. And the totes case.
Totes seeing what the difference is.
Yeah, let's totes dig into it and see what the differences and the similarities are.
JB, it's...
Well, it's kind of crazy how many similarities there are.
Shell, thank you. She said, love you, girls. We love you too, Shell.
Love you,
I look like I'm wearing those glasses with the nose tonight.
The incognito glasses.
The incognito potato glasses. I want to just give you a shout out. Your freaking drawing last night was really, really, really good.
It was so much fun. I was quite surprised how well it turned out, actually, to be honest.
It was super cute. Did you guys add that flower for any certain reason, the flower on the head, or
mm-mm.
was there no rhyme or reason?
No, but obviously we put the skull in it for Scott Skulls.
Yeah, so Potato went on Scott Skulls' channel, and she drew Mrs. Potato Head. And it was, do you have it with you, by you, to show everybody?
No.
You don't? Well, I have a picture.
No, I don't know how to pull it up.
She did awesome. Like, I thought that was Scott Skulls. She sent me a picture, and I was like, is that Scott Skull's picture or is that yours? And she was like, dude, it's mine. I'm like, wow. I really didn't expect that. You know, I really didn't.
It's so good though. Like, yeah, it's so good the way he puts you through it and stuff. Makes it really
Yeah, it's fun too. It's fun. It's like low key, you know, fun. you don't feel like rushed
I'm having a nice chat and stuff. It was nice.
Oh, sorry. Did you guys hear that? What was that?
Well, that squeak.
I don't know. It sounds like a, I don't know if that was a donkey or a pig or I don't know what the hell that was. Something crazy. Hey, Cousin Tracy. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to figure out what that is later. But anyways, I want to genuinely just thank you for coming on tonight. And
thank you for
putting together the stuff that you did. So we both kind of noticed that as we were watching the tote trial, that there was a lot of similarities and a lot of things that kind of we were like, whoa, kind of reminds us of Chris Watts.
Uh-huh. Well, I think when you follow these cases so closely, like you do end up picking up on stuff and no one really talks about the similarities between these cases.
Right.
I think it's really interesting to me, but
yeah, I never really paid attention to these kinds of cases really, I think, before Chris.
Yeah.
Watts. That was really the kind. I mean, that was really the first, I think, case I really like dove hard into, besides the Talika Patrick case in Michigan a while back. But now looking back on it, it's almost 4 years later.
It's crazy how long it's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots happened.
We had so much information on that, though. I think it was just,
information overload.
You can't just let it go. Yeah.
It was total information overload. It was like, okay, cool. Thanksgiving weekend's wrecked because we got the first dump.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the second dump. We were like, damn. And then fast forward to March, we got the 5-hour interview.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
I think there's so much information, but you still have so many questions at the end of it as well. I think that's
for sure. For sure. But I think that to those of us who followed this case closely, and it's kind of like one of those things, it sounds weird, but it's like, I hate to say this, near and dear to your heart, so to speak, you know, as far as something that you really invested a lot of time into. And I'm one of those people that invested a lot of time into this case. And looking back on it, every time I revisit it, I pick up something different, or I notice something different, or I feel something different about it. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there was so much information, like you can't take it all in all at once. So you are going to pick up on things the more that you look into it. Mm-hmm. And then some people don't like going back to it, but I think after a period of time, you start seeing things differently as well. And some of the emotion was gone from it. So you can look at things more logically, I guess, without all that emotion involved and stuff. But I think
the same thing. And like,
we got to know them so much as well.
Oh yeah. What was the question you asked me? Was it you that asked me that the other day? Like, do you think something, if it was something about the social media?
Yeah. So if we had the same kind of social media presence and stuff with Megan and got to know her more, like, would we have a different opinion? Because both cases, like Tony and Chris, both blamed their wives for what happened with the children. Like, they didn't admit to killing their children, and we don't second guess it because we don't know who Megan is. We don't know her personality, but we felt like we knew who Shannon was because she put everything out there, her whole personality and everything. We kind of got to know who she was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least what she portrayed on social media, we definitely mm-hmm. felt like we knew her.
Yeah.
Weird. I've never followed a true crime case quite in that capacity. I mean, not to sound like a nerd or anything, but like, I've never followed it so deeply to where like we personally saw people involved, family members and things like that, like posting and doing videos and putting it right in front of us. I think it was just the most bizarre thing looking back on it.
Yeah. And all the stuff in the discovery as well. I mean, we knew everything. We saw body cams and everything. It's just, it's crazy how much information there was.
It was like being there.
It was. Yeah. And then you feel like you know them as well. So
weird. Yeah. It's just really strange because like, when we were going back today and like looking at clips, like I'm like, oh, I know exactly where to find that. Like I knew, I'm like, this is freaking weird. Yeah. I never realized like how much I actually took in.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It's a little disturbing to be honest. Like maybe I need to reevaluate.
Yeah. Well, when you think how long the interviews and stuff were, they were hours long, but we knew where to find stuff.
Hours. Crazy. I remember, so here's a random fun fact. When I started my channel, which was during the whole dump, was December of 18. And I remember when we got like the interrogation and it was super, super long and it was just mm-hmm. tick tock and sitting there, and I had bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Mm-hmm. But I did. I really truly was sick as hell. I had like walking pneumonia / bronchitis, and I was streaming. I had only been a YouTuber for maybe a couple weeks. And I was streaming and I was so sick, and I'm like, I've got to do this. So I'm playing it and that clock is ticking and I'm in my desk chair and I fell asleep with my hot mic and I snored. So it's something I've always done. Go figure. But yeah, I was so ill, man. I fell asleep. I'll never forget that. But like I wanted to see everything because everyone was just chomping at the bit too. Like, oh my God, like what, you know, what's in there, and we wanted to see everything, and everyone was just diving through it, and it was an insane time when you think back on it.
Hours and hours of just reading and watching. Yeah, it's crazy.
And we can still just talk about it and discuss it, and I think that we've come up with things too that we can learn from it.
Definitely.
So, all right, so let's talk about Tote for a minute. All right. So when did you first hear about Tote? Do you remember?
I don't even know. I can remember.
Totally uneventful, right? Totally uneventful. After it really was.
Yeah, I really cannot remember.
The only reason
I can
I
remember
paid
when I heard about
attention
this
was
watch.
because I live here. So that's why I paid attention to it.
Yeah, well, like with the Chris Watts case, that was in our news, so I knew about it on like the 15th.
Is that
But
unusual for
the
you to hear about it that quickly, like from something over here? Or not so much
I guess
anymore?
it depends what it is. Like I said, there was nothing about the tote case over here. I didn't see
No.
anything. But the Watts case,
Nothing.
it was straight away. And I think it's because they went out there and said, you know, the girls are missing and stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's admitted to everything, is what was in our news. He
Do you
hadn't
find
admitted to
that a lot of the
everything.
crimes that show up, like in the Daily Mail, are ones that you hear about? Or is the Daily Mail not kind of run what you hear?
Yeah, no, that's where I heard it from. That's where I saw it in the Daily Mail.
Okay, so if you're going to see something from America Crime, you're going to see it on the Daily Mail.
It's going to be in there, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know what your sources were because I always think, I know the Daily Mail is a British publication and they always have the best photos
And they
and the
always have
most
everything quick.
everything quick. They were the first ones that got pictures of the laundries coming out of their attorney's office. I was like, damn, how did they
Yeah.
get that so quick? But they've got people everywhere. Like photographers and videographers, I imagine. Pretty crazy network. So I first heard about Tote. I don't remember when I first heard about it, but I remember I heard about it, and when I heard about Celebration, I was taken back because I had heard of the Celebration. I don't even want to say neighborhood because it's like its own town. But it was originally started by Disney, and I was always intrigued by this weird kind of, what did you call it? Stepford Wives
It is like
type.
Stepford Wives. It's like their own little world that's just not like anything else.
Right. And everything's just so picture perfect. And I've always heard about it, and I think I saw it one time going to Disney, like drove, through Celebration. And saw the neighborhoods, and I want to say all the mailboxes had Mickey heads, but maybe I was wrong. Maybe they're gone now because Disney doesn't own it. But I could have sworn that, and I just thought, oh my God, what, how obsessed with Disney do you have to be to live here? Like that's so weird.
Right.
So, but I knew it was super expensive and super like, I don't know what the word is.
Like an upmarket kind of place.
Yeah, and something that I think you have to have a certain feel for Disney. Like you really have to love Disney, I think, to spend that kind of money to live in this picture perfect. Looks like a movie set. So I
Yeah, it
think that's
does.
what intrigued people too. So interesting, they started out like that. Started out, they have their own, it's their own town, their own zip code, their own government, fire department, all that stuff. All Disney grounds is like that, and that is soon to change, which is a whole nother discussion. But when this happened, obviously it was not Disney owned any longer. But I drove by there because I was intrigued, and it was just weird because they had, it was empty, but there was someone there, and the door was open, and like the storm door was the only thing that was closed. And there was someone in there, and he was a younger guy, probably early 20s. And he kind of told me that his parents owned the place and that his parents weren't there and that they really don't like to talk to people about what happened there, which I don't blame him. I said, I don't blame you. He's like, no, I totally like, show you inside and stuff, but my parents would be really mad. And I said, well, I don't want to put you in any kind of a position. But he was, interestingly enough, he was British. He was a British lad.
Weird.
So they must own it maybe as an investment type thing. And maybe they use it to come on their holiday
Yeah,
to the
like a holiday
States.
home. Well,
Yeah.
it's
How
like a
nice
place
would
to
that
have a
be?
holiday home, isn't it? Somewhere to let
Yeah.
out and stuff for people to visit Disney.
Yep. And I think a lot of people do that. They buy those homes in there and they use it for their own and then they rent it out. This was before Airbnbs and all that, I think. Or Airbnb was probably pretty new, right? This was in what year was this? 18? No. Airbnb was big then.
It was after.
I was thinking it was longer than that ago. I don't know why, but yeah. So anyways, I don't even know why I got on the Airbnb thing, but regardless, this is a very common place for people to rent out their properties. And they had already purchased the totes back in 05. They purchased this condo in Celebration. And then they ended up with a rental home as well as the condo. So they ended up with both at one point, owning one, renting one, from what I understand. So I thought it was interesting, just before we get in on the differences, I thought it was interesting that the totes bought that place way back in 05. Because I was wondering, I'm like, why they have two places? I didn't quite understand what the whole meaning of that was. And we'll get more on that situation in a little bit. But I was like, why do they have two places? Well, they were traveling PTs. So they were traveling physical therapists, and they would go for like 12-week stints and go wherever. Well, they really liked Florida. So they went to all these different states. They liked Florida. They bought the condo in Celebration and kept it all those years and had their place in Connecticut. So then they moved from Connecticut, not fully though. He still had his practice in Connecticut, but she was residing, from what we found out in trial, she was residing in Florida.
Yeah. So 2017, they sold their Colchester house, and Megan and the children moved to that rental.
So did he ever say where he stayed when he went back? I guess I thought they still had a property there.
That's what I thought as well. But then I saw that they'd actually sold it, and I couldn't find anything about where he was or if he was renting somewhere else. So I don't know.
Maybe staying with family.
Or maybe he was staying in their business. They could have had a room or something. Don't know.
Because he was committing fraud.
Big
from that
fraud.
Business.
Yeah. So he was under investigation. For
he was like about to get indicted. Don't you think? Wasn't it close to like indictment? Like he was going to be arrested.
Yeah, they had a warrant out for his arrest when they found them. So he was being investigated for. Let me see. I've got the figure. How much it was? So he'd been billing for services he hadn't been providing. So he'd been adding on to insurers' bills.
Yeah, so I think it was actually Medicare, which is the federal government. That's, not a good idea, Tony Toad.
But that wasn't the only one. There was other ones as well.
Like commercial insurance?
I can't hear you.
Sorry, I had to turn on my light. Like commercial insurance? Like Blue Cross Blue Shield, stuff like that.
I can't remember what they were called. Blue something.
Yeah. So he was billing insurance companies and Medicare fraudulently and collecting money.
Yeah.
Way to go, Tote. So the walls are closing in on his ass.
$130,000.
What? $130,000?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like an amount to kill your family over, dude.
But there was other stuff, wasn't there? I mean, they were behind on their rent. They were getting evicted. I mean, he had nothing, really. He'd lost his license for his physiotherapy. So he was going under.
He was going under. Now, he was hiding, from what we know. We don't know if Megan knew about the financial problems, because no one has really spoken out. Unlike in Shanann's case, we had all her Thrive friends talking. We had her family. We had Chris's family. We've got all these people talking. We didn't see anyone really come out except... was it her aunt that came out in the sentencing phase, which all happened in one day?
Yeah. So the only thing we know is that Tony told investigators that Megan didn't know anything about what was going on with the fraud. I don't know if she knew about the home, because they owed like $6,000 in rent on that Celebration home as well. But the fraud,
how much?
She didn't know. $6,000.
A month?
No, that's how much they owed.
Oh, I think they were paying almost that in rent, though.
That's crazy.
On the home. I think it was like $5,000.
Wow.
Crazy.
And they also had liens on their condo as well. So it's both of them.
So there are some similarities right there, right?
Mm-hmm. With Watts. Yeah.
Yep. Except he was the one keeping the finances under wraps. And in Watts' case, from what we know, she was kind of keeping that whole homeowners thing, at least, under wraps because he got served while she was in North Carolina. So yeah, it was kind of reversed.
Yeah, so 30th of June, he'd signed for that. And she was obviously in North Carolina at the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have a clip on that.
Ooh.
I have a clip on No, I don't. I have the porch interview clip.
Oh yeah.
And then I have the 5 a.m. Let me see what else I have. Let's go through these clips. I love these clips, by the way. Oh yes. The medical stuff.
It's that homeowners association. They didn't even owe that much, really. I mean, it was like $680. And then obviously attorney's fees and stuff on top of that. But it was only $1,500 for that.
Weird that, you know, I always thought it was weird that it wasn't taken care of when they took the loan off of the 401k to get caught up on the rent.
Mm-hmm. So what happened with that money? Because they didn't get caught up on their mortgage.
No, they did. They did catch up.
The mortgage.
They were, but she had done that back in June, I think. I think she had taken the loan out in June, and then they were behind again when she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So she had played catch up, I think, for like 4 or 5 months, and then when she passed away, they were behind again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they were in a lot of debt.
But we don't know if Megan knew or not. We don't know if she found out. That could be, you know, whatever the catalyst was. Whether the catalyst was that he knew that he was going to get arrested or what.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what sent him over the edge. But something definitely did.
They could have had relationship issues and stuff as well. I mean, yeah, well, it's funny because both him and Chris Watts were both trying to lead a healthier lifestyle and stuff, losing weight. He had that condo that he seemed to be staying at. I mean, he wasn't there the night before, was he? So he could have been staying away from home. He was working away from home. I mean,
well, I think he definitely was staying away from home because I'm not buying his story. Because when we looked at the videos of the house that Megan and the kids were living in, there's bins. It was just like moved into. All there is like clothes. Mm-hmm. Not really a whole lot of belongings.
And a lot of stuff in their condo for the kids as well.
Mm-hmm. And his story was that he was bringing toys from the condo to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But that he ended up sleeping at the condo.
Well, not even in the condo that night, in his car.
Well, he fell asleep in the car, but he was going to sleep there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to sleep there because he was going to put a bike together for his baby girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For all intents and purposes, from what we've heard, this dude was like a normal person prior to this.
According to his clients and things, yeah, he seemed like a nice guy.
And not a whole lot of people have really come out on his behalf, though.
Exactly. Like no friends, just his client spoke out.
Yeah. And you would think, like, with a busy physical therapist. Oh, no, there was a family friend. I take that back. There was a woman that talked to the news, but very briefly. And it seems like Megan was probably, I'm not speaking because I know, I'm just saying maybe she was a private person. And that's why the family maybe kept everything private. Whereas on the other hand, Shanann was very social, you know, very outgoing, and she herself was all over social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, her career depended on it, didn't it? She needed to be out there. the product. Otherwise, she's not going to get people in her downline. And that's what everything relied on, was her downline.
Yeah. And I mean, if you don't go live, you're not going to sell. You're not going to get your message out there. So I get it. I get it. But I want to play a couple clips here about the health issues that I guess both women, according to Anthony anyways, and according to Shanann herself, we know that Shanann suffered also from multiple health issues. But all we can go off of is what Tony said.
Right.
Tony. Let's see here if I can get, hopefully you guys can hear this. If not, I'm going to have to open it up in Chrome. Oh my gosh, why am I sharing this? Here we go. Okay, let me know if you can hear it.
Nope.
You cannot?
Mm-mm.
For real?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to have to open it up in Chrome. All right. So anyways, let's talk a little bit more about that while I get this ready. So Shanann had like lupus, and that was one of the big stories that Shanann would talk about when meeting Chris.
Yeah. He was like her savior.
Yeah. That's what pretty much stole her heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in a really low point in her life and he came along. She wasn't interested in him, but he kind of worked his way in and was there to support her through her difficult health challenges.
Sounded like he was relentless because she tells that story, you know, I got this friend request and I didn't accept it and I didn't accept it and I didn't want to talk to him. And then she finally caved.
Yeah, I think it was something he could feel important in, though, to be honest. I mean, she was weak at that point.
He could save her. He could be a part of saving her. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Here we go.
With my diagnosis of lupus and fibromyalgia all within a 6-month period, I lost my grandfather, just closed on my house. I had a lot going on. Emotionally, I was all over the place. I felt awful, best out of everything.
Oh, it's repeating. kind of get mesmerized. I mean, there's the first one. Now let me pull up the second one we have. I think this one's it. Or are they the same? No, they're not the same. This is where she talks about why they moved to Colorado. So this is important. This is very, very important when it comes to the...
Mr. Tote.
Mm-hmm. To the comparisons. All right. Sorry. Bear with me. I'm not used to using this melon thing, but I'm trying my best. I don't know why it's so, like, narrow looking. Did that help? Weird. Anyways, you can still see it. It's just a little skewed.
Emotionally, I was all over the place.
Whoops.
I felt awful. Best out of everything. With my diagnosis of lupus and fibromyalgia.
Is that the same one we just watched?
Yeah.
Holy.
What is the other one where she's on the porch?
No, the other one is the same. She's in the same shirt and in the same place. That's why I got confused. Hold on. Let me swap them out.
Gorgeous in Colorado, minus today it's raining. But I still feel good. So, yeah, so we moved to Colorado. We created a life for ourselves out here. Chris found an amazing job that fully takes care of him. Anything he needs, he's there. They appreciate, they respect him, which is huge for any job that you have. And we love it here. We've made such an amazing group of friends that we call family, friends that are closer to us than some family, friends who are there for us better than some family. Truly, truly grateful.
There's so many things that we can talk about when it comes to this, but we're going to stick with the lupus diagnosis and the medical. Now, where is the tote clip? I got to play that, because then we have Tony in court saying, you know, my wife had all these problems. Is it any of your clips or is it all mine?
It's not one of mine.
Yeah, those are mine that didn't show up for whatever reason.
Well, he was saying she had Lyme's disease, didn't he? And that,
well, yeah, as a teen. So it was like another case of she was diagnosed before I knew her type thing. Mm-hmm. You know? So he's like, yeah, you know, it was, she was a teen. She would have bouts. It would come and go and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then we have, and we just have all this blame game. And it's hard to know at this point what to even believe. Huh. Amy says, I think Tony gave her the health problems. Yeah, I think she was trying to get away from his ass. I really, really do. So let's see. I'm going to go to your clips here. I'm just stunned, man. 130,000? And he offs his family because he can't tell his wife this?
Well, he would have been going to prison, wouldn't he? So, I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's been cases of fraud involving a higher dollar amount. That's really not that much in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it's a lot of money, but...
I think it was his sister, I think, said something about the reason why she thought that he'd done it was because of his childhood experiences, like seeing his father being taken away. He didn't want his own kids to go through that, to see him being taken away as well.
Okay, so you bring up an interesting dynamic then, because Tony Tote's dad was convicted of hiring someone to kill his mother when Tony was 4.
Yeah, one of his students who had learning disabilities. Sick.
So his dad was a bastard who took advantage of a special needs student that he was teaching and talked them into shooting his wife.
Whilst Tony was in the house, he heard her scream and he saw someone wrestling with his mom on her bed. Mm. Yeah.
And I think she was shot like in her eyeball. Yeah, I don't know if from behind or in the front. But she was blinded by it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, lost her eye, but luckily survived.
Right, but you got to think this 4-year-old, right?
Well, it's childhood trauma, isn't it? It's going to have an impact on the rest of his life.
Yeah. It just is, you know, and I hate to bring up the Wells case, but I kind of had this same similar, you know, kind of thought in my head where we talk about these cases and the people that are involved and the trauma that they may have went through. I think all of them pretty much have some sort of trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first thing was, you know, when I would follow the Ted Bundy case, huge case. And then I found out, you know, his trauma was that he thought he was being raised by his mother, but it was really his grandmother. And he was lied to and he was told that his sister, or he's told his mother, was really his sister. And when he found that out, he was very angry at women.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting to look into the background of these killers and see what the hell they saw or went through as kids.
Yeah. Well, there's two routes people can go down, isn't there? They either go down the same path and it goes down the generations, or they take a completely different route and they don't want that to continue any further.
Mm-hmm. Just like anything, just like alcoholism and... You know, you have alcohol, you have children of alcoholics that either, you know, make the conscious decision to not be like what they know, or you have people who just fall back into that chain of events, you know, like, and not fight to get out of that. So it's kind of the same thing, but I think that this has more of the mental illness aspect. I think with Anthony Tote, I think that dude, there's definitely something wrong upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, with cases of familicide, it normally is something mental health related, like personality disorders, need for control. I think with Tony, it was probably definitely a need for control. But I think Chris Watts is kind of a completely different person. I mean,
mm-hmm. I don't see the control factor with Chris Watts.
No, not at
he's
all.
Very meek, whereas Tony, mm-hmm. I could see him being very controlling, hard-headed, his way or no way type thing.
Yeah, so like the characteristics of perpetrators of familicide is dominating family relationships, a need for control, use of drugs and alcohol, which I don't think either of them had, although we don't mm-hmm. really know, do we? But I don't think so.
No, not that we heard of.
A history of abandonment.
Thrive.
That's true.
We had the thrive aspect, which we don't know. We do know that was a stimulant. But Tony was also drinking shakes, remember?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They both were kind of following the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
History of abandonment and rejection, abuse and violence in childhood, which obviously Tony had.
Mm-hmm. But Chris, as far as we know, lacks that.
Chris didn't. Chris had a pretty good upbringing, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And a poor employment history, which neither of them had either, as far as I know.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, it sounds like Tony went to school, got his master's. I don't know if he even had his doctorate, possibly in physical therapy. Chris knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to do the NASCAR tech school and didn't work out, but he stayed with being a mechanic until the Anadarko job.
He had the opportunity to go there, so it wasn't like they didn't have the opportunities and stuff, and they both had jobs. They went in and out of work. Especially Tony. I mean, they had their own family business. That's what he'd done all along, was be a physiotherapist.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of a different point of view that maybe you and I don't fully understand is, you know, like being a father and being the provider of the family, because it seems like Megan maybe didn't work or worked very little after having kids.
Yeah, and they were homeschooling as well. I think when they moved to Florida, they were homeschooling.
And I mean, I guess I can see more so like from the Tote aspect, like him not wanting to let them down in the fact of the financial ruins and the prison. I mean, obviously you made a great point with that with his dad. I mean, that makes total sense. But also to let them know like, hey, you know, we're not going to live like this anymore. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? You're going to prison. Like, mom's going to have to work. What, you know, what's going to happen?
And she was sick and she couldn't
and
work.
She was sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he made the grave decision to say, you know what? You guys are all better off dead. And I'm going to be the one to make that decision for you.
It's like the ultimate control, isn't it? He seemed like a very controlling person during his trial. He's very aggressive. Domineering. So I think it was his ultimate control. And with Chris, like, I don't know.
But I think she was leaving
like
him. And I think he felt.
Control.
Yes. I think Chris never had control.
Mm-mm.
And I think he got a taste of that when Shanann and the girls left. Mm-hmm. He got a taste of what it feels like to be in control or be given options.
Yeah, some freedom. Mm-hmm. Not having someone who wanted to control his life. She was helping him do things he wanted to do.
More of a partnership.
Himself.
More of a partnership, I think he experienced. But I don't think that the dude had much experience with any women other than Shanann. No. Just like Tony. They met in high school. They were high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of experience with other people. So I don't know, man. And I don't know. It's just, it's crazy because I want to know what we can learn from these things. And it's almost like you just cannot ever predict them because you look at, I mean, yeah, Tony, the different, he sat in that house with those bodies. Now.
Crazy.
So my question is, you asked, would we be feeling the same way if we had seen Megan all over social media, like we saw Shanann, and got to kind of get a feel for who she was.
Mm-hmm.
If Chris Watts had sat in that house with those bodies for weeks, would we have ever gone down the road of questioning if he did it, if she did it, if he did, you know, he killed her because she killed that? Would we have ever gone there had this Chris Watts sat in his home with their rotting corpses, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's really hard to tell, purely because we did know so much about Shanann. So I don't really think that would have had the same kind of impact as it does with Tony. Because, you know, you could say, well, if he stayed in the home because he was depressed about losing his family, didn't want to leave them, so he just stayed with them. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he'd killed them all. I mean, he did. In my opinion, he did.
Which one?
Tony had killed them all, obviously. Mm-hmm. So if Chris had stayed in the house with the kids, I don't know whether it would have said to me that he had done it all. The way that he disposed of them is something that I can't get past.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, oil tanks are just...
It's gruesome. It's horrible. It's awful what he did. But I have to say, if he sat in that house with those rotting corpses, I would have never doubted that he did it all. And the reason I say that is because I feel like that is such a twisted outcome. Like, okay, not only did Chris Watts not call 911, which was bad enough,
mm-hmm.
right? It was bad enough that he did not call 911.
Yeah.
But if he would have sat up in there with them rotting after killing them, I would have thought, there's no doubt in my mind. This guy's off his rocker.
What if he'd been in that house trying to kill himself as well, though, like Tony was?
Okay, so let's talk about how Tony tried to kill himself, though.
Tried to kill himself.
But how did he try to kill himself? Benadryl?
Benadryl.
A pellet gun? A pellet gun.
Because he couldn't get a gun. Which is also an interesting comparison between the two, because both of them said they didn't have a gun to kill themselves. And most, like, if the perpetrator of familicide does end up killing themselves, it's normally with a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither one of them were gun toters.
Mm-mm. But then Chris didn't even try, though, did he? He did mention that he had thought about taking his own life as well, because he didn't deserve to live.
Right.
That one.
Yeah. Let me play that. Because Chris said, yeah, I thought about it. Mm-hmm. I was going to off myself. Tony said, I tried every way, every which way but loose. No, you didn't. If you're trying to kill yourself and you're using a pellet gun and you're using Benadryl that children take, that dogs take,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to die.
And trying to hang himself, he said, whilst in his bed.
Yeah, he hung himself from these things that were at the floor, on the feet, right?
Yeah, around the bed headboard thing.
Look at Amy's comment.
He was already trying to kill himself.
He really, I mean, he really, really, really was unhealthy.
He was, and that's why his family were worrying about it. I can't remember who said it, but they were worried that he put on a lot of weight and obviously wasn't taking care of himself in the lead up to what happened.
But he tried to get in shape towards the end there, and I think that's kind of another clue that she was done with his ass.
Yep.
She was done with him, and he was doing everything he could to kind of prove, but then he still had that, like, ego problem, Like, I'm going to do these things, but I'm not going to tell you why I'm doing them. I'm just going to do them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough for her. And he done lost it. So where is the one of the I deserve to die, that one?
Yeah, they're in a Slack. One of them's a clip. But
yeah, because he felt like a failure. Here it is. I got it. I think this is the one. He says, I felt like a failure. Because you are. Tater tote. Okay. Share screen. This gets really confusing for me sometimes.
Oh, it was Megan's aunt that was concerned about his health.
Oh, it was her aunt? Really?
I think that's
the one that spoke that day? I think she did say that she spent time with Megan when they came up there. And that she said she was concerned.
Yeah.
Because he was calling her all the time. He was like up her ass.
Yeah, when they were out together.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, because she's sick. I was checking on her. But then, see, there's another opposite. Chris was like, Shanann was out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he had something else to occupy his time with, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. And I think somebody just said in chat, I think the one of the main differences that one's money motivated and one seems to be sexually motivated. Interesting.
I don't know. I think there was money issues with both of them as well, though. So
there was.
Yeah, both.
But the murder didn't happen in the Watts because of money, I don't think. I mean, I think that was a factor behind all of the frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where'd my window go? I have like 20 windows open. Okay, here we go. Here's Tony Tote testifying. And that was crazy, too, that he testified. That's one thing we definitely didn't get in the Watts case was a trial and a story and all of the questions answered.
I don't think Tony's ego would let him not testify, though.
Mm-mm. He was like, I've waited 2.5 years to tell my story. You know, he couldn't wait.
That was his moment.
I felt a failure. I decided that I wanted to be with my family, that I wanted to die.
Okay, in that first 2 seconds, I heard I think 6 times.
I deserve to die. I condemned myself to death. I was ashamed.
What did you do?
I sat there and cried for a while. At some point that I realized now, after seeing the receipt up there, I decided I was going to go and get a gun. I felt a failure. I decided that I wanted to be with my family, that I wanted to die, that I deserved to die. I condemned myself to death. I was ashamed.
What did you do?
I sat there and cried.
Sorry. I guess I just wanted to hear him say he cried again because he's such a bastard.
He said he sat there and cried. Like, he's talking about his family's just died and he's thinking about killing himself, but there's zero emotion in it. He's just
I.
Talking about himself and, yeah, his whole attitude. I just can't look at his face.
I can't either. I know. I love her accent too, whoever just said that.
Who said that?
It is. It's very easy to listen to.
Well, thank you.
Okay, here is the clip of Christopher Lee Watts.
I think I saw on the video that you put a gas can or something in the back of your truck. Is that right? Did you have different plans when you put that in there?
I don't know what was going through my head. I felt like maybe I could just get rid of myself at the same time if I was doing all this, honestly.
Yeah.
Did you think about that?
What did you think about that?
He's like, I'd get rid of myself since I was doing all that. Like, oh, I'm going through the trouble of doing all this, so I may as well off myself. But if he wanted to die, dude, he'd be dead.
He would have, exactly, with both of them. If they wanted to die, they would have died.
Yep, they'd both be dead right now. They didn't want to die.
Yeah. So yeah, he said, I don't know what was going through my head. I thought I could have maybe just got rid of myself at the same time I was doing all this, honestly. I didn't feel like I deserved to live after what happened. And then he was asked if he was planning some kind of explosion because of where he was and he had the gas can. And he said he didn't want to risk hurting other people. And so he didn't. But if that was, if he was going to die, that's what he would have done. It would have been with the gas can.
Isn't that weird, though, that someone who just offed their family is worried about other people?
Exactly.
What a weird rationale. Like, the people that are the most important or supposed to be the most important to you are dead, but you're concerned with other people.
Yeah, so he was worried about his workmates showing up and stuff. So he has more concern about his workmates than he does about the family who...
Or is the concern more so that he's worried about his image and how he looks to other people?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he didn't want anyone to find his family there because he didn't want people to think that he was a monster. So he was worried about how people were going to perceive him afterwards.
So weird. I mean, you do something so horrific like that, and then you're still in the capacity in your mind to think about yourself and how you are going to be viewed. I guess that's what you'd be thinking about. Holy shit. What are people going to think of me?
Yeah. So again,
but for him, potato, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
For him to then, you know, be able to face his boss like he did, knowing he's lying, right? Mm-hmm. I know we've all said, oh, Chris was just like this, you know, innocent, like kind of, you know, tucked away in a bubble his whole life type thing. But like, he had the sense about him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just weird. Like, this, just the behavior overall. When someone does something like this to other people and what goes through their mind afterwards is just so crazy.
Yeah.
And then we have another clip. This one is communicating.
Yeah, so they both said kind of weird things when they were explaining their conversations with their partners.
Yes, you're right. Okay, let me... Can you not hear this? You can't hear it or see it, can you?
It's still got Chris Watts on it. Still the...
I got to go back to Chrome. Okay, here. Here we go.
So what happens next?
I go into the bedroom because I wasn't feeling well and she wanted to talk to me in the bedroom.
Okay. And what happens next?
We start communicating. And like I said, when I woke up, I felt nauseous anyways. And I don't know if it was because of the nauseous I woke up with or what she was telling me. I puked.
Okay. So what happens next?
I go into the...
He puked. Chris Watts puked.
This was the first thing that we noticed. I think both of us noticed it, that he'd said that he'd gone and they started communicating. So he didn't go in and they started talking. It was communicating. And it just made me think of that emotional conversation.
The emotional conversation. And I'll leave it at that. Okay, let's watch that. Or do we just have an image here?
No, it's a video.
Is this a different... Is this a screen record?
Yeah, because that one didn't have clips. You can't clip it from YouTube.
Oh, I don't know if I can show it. All right, let's see. Just bear with me. No, we're not in any rush. We are not in any rush. Okay, here we go. Oh, that didn't work. Yeah, well, here. Maybe I can play the audio and you can hear it. No.
Do you want me to play it?
Can you? Can you share screen?
Not share screen, but I'll be able to play
it. Oh, just play it on your phone. Yeah. I just need the audio.
Let me find it.
Did you guys get to an argument before?
Sure.
It wasn't like an argument. We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that. But it's... I just want them back. I just want them to come back.
Did that play all right?
Perfect. Thank you.
So, yeah.
And then if you can do the same thing with the 5 a.m.s, because those are from your phone as well. Those two are the last ones, I think.
Yeah, so this I found really weird is that they both mentioned 5 a.m. And that, so for Tony, he said that everything had to happen before 5 a.m., before the sun came up. And it's the same time that Chris said he went downstairs after having that conversation with Shanann.
The emotional conversation.
Yeah. So this is...
That's when I get back and slide right into bed next to her and start having a conversation with her about having the house up for sale and talking about it, like actually going, proceeding with the separation. Okay. And honestly, it gets pretty emotional. Like we're talking about, you know, like we felt this connection was there, like falling out of love and trying to stay together, maybe just for the kids' sake, but realizing that doing like our homework, it's not, most of the time, that's not going to work. Yeah. And it gets pretty emotional because we have two beautiful kids and we have one on the way. So it's just a matter of like, it was very emotional. We were both crying. And at the end, we just said, you know, she said she was going to take the kids to her friend's house for the day. She would be back. Okay. So, and I was going downstairs, made my protein shake. You know, the 5 a.m., that's when I did that. I had my lunchbox, had my oatmeal, chicken. Took my water jug up. 5:15, went outside, back my truck up and loaded up.
Yeah, so 5 a.m. he said he went downstairs, and that's apparently when Shanann had done everything.
You mentioned a couple of times that Megan told you that you have to do this before the sun comes up. Is there a reasoning behind that?
I don't know why the reasoning was behind that, but it would have to be done before the sun came up, yes.
Interesting poll. 75% would not have ever questioned it if they did. And 24% said yes, they still would have questioned it. But 75% said no. If his crazy ass sat up there with the bodies, they would not. But they questioned it even after he threw them in oil tanks. So that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it is to me as well. Because, yeah, that's something that I go back and forwards. Well, I did go back and forwards all the time about what I thought happened. But him putting the children in oil tanks was one thing that I just couldn't understand because it just... It's like the worst way that you could get rid of a body.
It is.
And what he put them through, I just doesn't even bear thinking about.
It's unfathomable. Mm. And I guess the way that I have tried to that's a big word. I can type it, but I cannot say it. Compartmentalize it, right? Because I don't have autocorrect in my brain for when I spit it out, but... You know, I've told myself in a I've tried to come at it as non-emotional as possible, which is very hard because we're talking about a 3- and 4-year-old. And we've seen so many videos of them. And I've met their grandfather. And I've seen videos that he took on his phone. And it's horrifying. But I've tried to not rationalize it, but kind of put it in my own head like this. Chris Watts seemed like he was a creature of habit. And in the moment, I think that Chris Watts just went where he was going to be going anyways. I'm not of the ones that believe he premeditated anything. There's many, many reasons why I don't think it was premeditated, more of a snapped situation. And I think in that heat of the moment, he did not know what to do. And unfortunately, he didn't call 911 like he should have done. But he just went on to work. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, it would be a little different to me if he plotted out, hey, I'm going to dispose of them in the worst way possible and take them to these oil tanks because no one's ever done this before. And I'm going to do this and make it known. You know, I'm going to be remembered for this. If it was like that, I would feel differently. But I feel like he was kind of just like a dum-dum that just went with the flow every day. He did the same thing. He went to work. He worked. He came home. He switched vehicles. He picked up the girls from daycare. He brought them home. They would feed them, then he would bathe them, and then he would put them to bed. That was his routine, and I think he was just a creature of habit. I don't think he thought outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does, because I've thought the same thing. But then I always go back to the fact that they were in tanks.
Yeah, and when you really think about that, and I guess that's the thing, I don't think about that. It's too hard to think about. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Yeah. And with the premeditating as well. So people say that he did a sloppy job and stuff. Obviously, he was found. The kids were found and Shanann was found. But if he hadn't admitted to where they were, do you think that they would have found the girls?
Mm. Yeah, that's one that I've thought about too.
Because maybe it was like his plan for them not to be found. Maybe he thought taking them to work was the last place that they would look. Why would you take them to work?
Why? Yeah. And then he freaked out because people were arriving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe at the moment he felt like, well, I'm supposed to be here. And if I'm not here, they're going to be looking for me. So mm-hmm. I've got to go there. And just winged it.
But then also that's a pretty good cover plan, isn't it? Like, I didn't do it. I was at work.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing Anthony said. I wasn't even there. I wasn't there when my family was killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. The sheet. The sheet was the demise of Chris Watts was what busted him.
Mm-hmm.
They droned over his last known location.
Yeah.
And boom. There's the other sheet, and the other one was in the trash.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot of time to do stuff though, did he? Like, he was running out of time. People were going to be there.
People.
Like, how long did he actually have at the oil site to hide them all?
He didn't. He didn't have much time at all. He was there for a couple hours, but he was on his phone the majority of that time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So he goes over in the interview, I think the one that they did in March of 19, where he talks about what he was thinking when he was out there. I think that's the one he did that in, where he was like, where he's talking about the people coming. Or was that in the Tammy Lee first one?
I can't remember.
I can't remember. But he did go into detail about how he ran out of time. And he said how he put her in there, what position, how he grabbed her underneath the arms, remember?
Yeah.
So I don't remember what interview that was that he went in. I think it was the second. I think it was that one later.
It probably was the second one.
That was when he talked about Bella saying, Daddy, no. Now, when Tony Tote talks about his little girl, he doesn't really say that she said anything.
No, I think that she probably went pretty quick. From the Benadryl.
Because see, Tony. But Tony changed his story. I mean, Chris did too. But in the very beginning, Chris said, and these were the clips that I saved that didn't save. I had the clip of Chris saying, when Ronnie came in to sit with him and he said, I hurt her, or whatever he said. Because she hurt the girls in whatever way he said that. And then Tony in his first interview said he did it all and said, why?
Yeah. So again, opposites. Chris said,
then they
first.
Then they follow up with Chris and he says, I did it all.
Yeah.
And then Tony comes back and says, no, I wasn't even there.
He said he 1,000% didn't do anything to his family or his kids.
But Chris said that in the beginning, too. He was like, I did not hurt my girls.
Yeah, so they're like opposites again.
Mm-hmm. And I think what bothered me and what made me question the Watts case versus this tote case is because we see the interrogation video where Chris mm-hmm. says, I didn't hurt my girls. He yeah. never admitted that he hurt the girls until nope. March of 19 when they went back. Mm-hmm. He never said that in Weld County. Never. Mm-hmm. But they somehow leaked to the media that he did.
Yeah, well, as soon as he admitted to Shanann, they were straight out there saying that he'd admitted to all of it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't. He didn't. Mm-hmm. So that was a false report that was leaked out to the media by we don't know who, someone within the CBI or the Weld County, yep. leaked out that he had confessed to all. So that narrative got out there immediately. Immediately, yeah. the people who hadn't been following, who didn't see the discovery when it was released, were believing this, believing that he said that, and he yeah. didn't.
Well, I was one of those people when really? I first saw it. I mean, I saw it literally the day it happened. I think it was like hours after it was in our news. So I had seen it, and that was it. Like, I didn't want to read more into it because it was sick and I couldn't believe what had happened. Like, he'd admitted to it all. So I didn't follow it until a little while after that and then started realizing, well, he didn't actually admit to killing his girls at all.
Yeah. So most people saw that initial report and thought, oh my God, he confessed. And then you have the unveiling of Nikki after.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have the he killed everyone factor that already pissed you off, you were pissed off because he was having an affair on his pregnant wife. So yeah. he had the double whammy. Like, Scott Peterson had the pregnant wife and the affair.
Yeah, so you have your motive right there. He was having an affair and he got rid of his family and he admitted to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not everything. You only found out the other stuff later on if you kept on following it.
If you kept on following it, which a lot of us did. But a lot of people didn't. And a lot of people didn't hear about it until Netflix came out. And then they were like,
exactly.
Oh my God. I had people that, you know, don't follow me on YouTube that I know in real life. Like, hey, have you, because they know I do this podcast, but they don't do it, you know, watch true mm-hmm. crime, but they caught it on Netflix. Hey, did you cover this story? Like, are you kidding me? Like, been there, done that, you know, but it was weird how it came out that second round.
Yeah. And then a lot more people were obviously looking into it.
And I'm not going to lie. I'd like to do another live where, because a lot of the Chris Watts videos that I have on my channel are getting a lot of comments lately. Like, it kind of had that second round when Netflix came out. But now there's like another round, and I don't really know what's bringing that round in other than A&E. This is an interesting tidbit. So the special that Kelly did with A&E,
mm-hmm.
it was something I never saw it the first time. But A&E has now collabed with Law and Crime.
Yeah.
And they brought out this documentary in pieces, and they were playing it like one episode a weekend, and they were only like 8 minutes long because it was like an hour show.
Mm-hmm.
But that being brought back up, I was like, maybe it's that, because A&E is a big network, and if people are just seeing it and then searching up Chris Watts. But I would like to go over the comments on those old videos, because the comments from 3 years ago are so different than the comments today.
Yep.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, well, I think over time you get different perspectives and things, don't you? More people are watching and
it's more of a mainstream thing now. Those people didn't sit there and watch her videos for hours and hours and feel this emotional connection.
Mm-hmm. Or go through the discovery or anything.
But what I will tell you is the people that are commenting now are not, that they don't believe that Chris killed him. I think the majority of them do. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of them are noticing how he was treated in the marriage. And they're commenting on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a huge no-no before. We weren't able to talk about that.
Nope.
But people are wanting to play. Or wanting to play. I just looked at chat. People are wanting to... Or people are starting to comment on that aspect. And I think it's crazy because those people probably didn't see the dynamics and all the drama and what the Russecs, you know, came out and said, you know, don't mention our daughter and all these things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's close to the time of it happening. Everyone does have some kind of emotional connection to it. Like it was happening kind of in real time with all the information that was being thrown at us.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wanted to talk about the other side of things. But now it's different because so much time has passed and you just, I don't know, have a more objective view of stuff.
But do you think, too, that a lot of people online related with Shanann just because she worked with the MLM, she did the Facebook Lives, and that, you know, a lot of women have turned to these MLMs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of women on social media agreed. And not agreed, but related with Shanann. Whereas I didn't necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nothing like her, and I didn't relate with her on a personal level. I kind of just looked at the situation as a whole, if that makes sense. I didn't really. I mean, I looked at their videos and kind of what I saw as far as the dynamic between the two of them and how he was kind of the, you know, get this, do that kind of guy. I mean, that was the feeling I got, but mm-hmm. I always kind of thought that maybe he was the kind of guy that liked that. And that's why he was attracted to her in the first place, was that he wasn't a take charge kind of guy. And it wasn't until he had an affair that he got a taste for what that feels like to be a take charge kind of guy, to be a guy who has a voice. Mm-hmm.
But then that's interesting, though, because when he met her, she wasn't that kind of person. She was struggling and he was, I guess, more in control and he was there to support her. So their whole relationship kind of changed. She took control when she was doing better.
Interesting. So maybe there was a little resentment there because he thought he met this quiet, in your shell kind of woman, more like him, where he's quiet, introverted. And then she found herself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what made her happy. I mean, she really did think that she was happy, I think. I mean, I really do think that she thought this was the life that she wanted to live. And I think that she thought that it was going to come around.
Yeah, it was going to give them experiences that they wouldn't normally have. I mean, they were going on their trips. Mm-hmm. She wanted to take Chris along with her.
She was really like kind of sacrificing for her family. Yeah. I think that in her mind, that's what she believed. Now, did we all see other things? Yes, I think she really did sacrifice a lot for her family. But I don't think she really realized what she was sacrificing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because these MLMs, I think they're the root cause of making these people think that they're going to be the next millionaire.
Yeah, well, it takes over their whole lives. I mean, everything they did was on social media because of her MLM stuff.
Yeah, they have to eat, sleep, and drink whatever the hell it is they're selling.
Yeah, and even there was a video where Chris was playing with the girls and Shanann said, you're losing views or something. And he was like, I'm just playing with my kids. Like, it's not about the views, but I think a lot of the stuff that she did was to pull those people in.
Mm-hmm. And I came across a clip today. I didn't save it, but it was, she had went outside and she was like, I'm hiding from the kids because she had a giveaway to do for her people. And she went out on the front porch and she's like, I got to hurry up. I got to make this quick because they're looking for me. So she really put that importance on. She knew what she had to do. She knew she had to keep the continuum, and she had to be, you know, she had to keep that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Out of sight, out of mind. If you don't go live, no one's seeing you, no one's hearing
you. Exactly. Everyone forgets about you, and they move on to someone else who's going to offer the same mm-hmm. product. So yeah, you've got to keep on top of it all the time. And I think it just takes over people's lives and not a lot of payout for it.
And, you know, I used to be very, very critical of Shanann, and I've publicly admitted my criticism of her. And mm-hmm. as the years have gone by and the things that I've learned about MLMs and, you know, all the people that are involved in them, it's very easy to get sucked into that world, you know, and yeah. I don't blame her for that.
Well, especially when you've got young kids as well, because you can work from home, you can spend time with your kids, and you can have this amazing.
Well, they tell you that. They tell you that. You don't have to work. You can be at home with your kids. But I think Shanann is a perfect example of you don't get a break.
Mm-mm. Where as soon as she would wake up in the morning, she'd be messaging everyone. And that's how they realized something was wrong, because she wasn't doing that.
So it's really irresponsible for MLMs, in my opinion, to infiltrate the minds of these mothers into thinking they're going to have more quality time with their kids if they sell their product. Because really what they're doing is pulling them away from their family. What they're doing mm-hmm. is putting a wedge between the woman and her husband and her children.
Yeah.
Is really what they're doing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And
not it is. It's people, obsessive.
Not a lot of people make a good living out of it either. So you've got all of these people who are trying their hardest to get their downline and bring in money for the company, and they're not getting anything out of it. A lot of people end up in debt from it.
Yeah.
They have to bring in their products and things, and if they're not selling
Wouldn't
them,
surprise me if that's what Shanann was spending money on. She had all that product.
She had a lot, yeah.
And she did a lot of the giveaways, and she did a lot of the, you know, freebies and stuff like that. So you would have to order product.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she thought, it's going to come back around. The more of these free kits I give out, the more business I'm going to get. But if I don't invest, I can't get a return.
Yeah, and I know people who have sold Thrive, and yeah, they give away these packs and stuff, and then they're like, are you gonna subscribe? And it's like, well, no. So they have way more people who are just taking their cheap product to try them mm-hmm. than there are actually
that turn into customers, let alone getting people to sell under you.
And then taking it even further down. So obviously the lower down you go, the less likely you're gonna make anything at all, and you're gonna end up with a loss.
Mm-hmm. And then you reel all your friends into this, and then your friends realize, fuck, I just lost my ass. And then good luck repairing that friendship.
Yeah,
just exactly. A mess overall. It's a mess.
It just infiltrates every single part of people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And it makes your friends feel uncomfortable. They don't want to mm-hmm. see all these posts. They don't want to feel pressured. People hate feeling pressured. I hate those parties. And it's so mm-hmm. dumb. I'm not going to rant too much about MLMs, but this always bothered me when I had little kids, and, you know, all the moms at school, you'd get the invites to the candle party and the Tupperware party and this party mm-hmm. and that party. And I mean, it's just never ending, but it got to the point where it's like, oh, I'm going to go to her party because she came to my party. Mm-hmm. So it's a wash anyway. I hate it. I hate those things. And you feel obligated to go. She came to my party, so I got to go to her party and I got to order something. It's just, I hate it. I'm so glad that is a thing of the past, because I don't hear about that much anymore.
No.
Or maybe people just stopped inviting me.
Because you would never go.
No, I mean, I did. I used to do it. I used to go and buy candles. And then I'd get sucked into booking a party at these parties. Like, oh, hey, you know, will you have a party? You'll get a free hostess gift. And I'd be like, okay, you know, because you feel like on the spot. I hate that. I hate obligations. I hate feeling like you have to do something. It's the worst feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. And plus as well, if you've got friends that sell in these things and you subscribe to them, at some point you're not going to want to subscribe anymore. So then you've got the whole issue of canceling and feeling like you're letting them down, because that's taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It just affects all relationships. I think it's just toxic.
It is toxic. It really is. And they just keep pumping them and pumping them to keep, you know, keep selling. And then they throw her in a magazine and make her feel very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where, you know, maybe if her husband's saying, hey, You know, I don't think Chris did say, hey, let's slow down. But maybe a more outspoken man would say, hey, you know, you're online a lot. You know, maybe we need to back off this a little bit. But, you know, they make them feel like this is the number one thing, where they'll even tell, you know, their husband probably, hey, you know, you're not supporting my endeavor here. Mm-hmm. And then that can cause friction and cause arguments and resentment.
Uh-oh. Yikes.
I want to know why that happened.
There?
We got gone.
It just gets fed up.
Yeah.
Well, we were just seeing if anybody would notice. But yeah, I mean, is there anything? Let's see. If there's any. Sorry, I kind of got. I think that was Melon Stream Labs telling me to shut up.
Shut up.
Let's see. We have no other clips. Gosh, was there anything that we didn't touch? Angie B, a friend of mine sold Thrive and tried pushing it on me. I didn't do it. She stopped selling it. I hate that party BS. Now she sells Osborne books. Nope. Don't want any books either. I've never heard of that one.
I have. And that's the thing. People go from MLM to MLM because it's not working out in one. So they go to another one and it just continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they go out of business and then they open a new one. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's craziness.
It is crazy.
They need to talk to Victor. Oh, Peter Rabbit. I'm going to have to go back, Peter Rabbit, and read your comments. I saw you were talking about like a personal experience you had. Hoochie Mama winner says, always got me. If you plan to kill Shanann, why not think about her being missing online? That's going to be a major thing he seemed to totally forget.
Yep.
He definitely didn't think it through. So I don't think that's why I just don't think that it was premeditated. It just doesn't seem premeditated to me. Like, also, he, you know, gave his kids a bath the night before. Like, oh, let me give you a bath and make sure you're all clean before I go dump you in the worst way humanly possible.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as well. Shanann hadn't been there all weekend. He'd taken them to parties and stuff. He had them all weekend. And then all of a sudden something happened that night.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was pre-planned, but mm-hmm. I do think it was premeditated, because premeditation could be like minutes before it happens. And when
yes.
you have something like strangulation and smothering, that takes time. And to do it 3 times.
Mm, I guess you're right. When you look at it in that terms, yeah, I always forget that premeditation can be right before.
Literally just before.
And I've never really understood that. Like, I don't. I feel like
you have time to change your mind. I mean, how long does it take?
True. Like
4 minutes for someone to actually die from strangulation.
True. I guess in the technicality of it, but like when I think of premeditation in my mind, I always think of like a plan or a plot.
Pre-planning it like days before. Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the legal term of it. And I always forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of premeditated murders that I'm just like, what? You know, but yeah. That makes sense when you look at it in that way. But I just, there's just so many things that, and then I never was one to believe anything further about the mistress, Nicole. Always just thought she was just this unlucky mistress. And then all this stuff has been talked about lately. And now it's got me on the fence about all of this. And it's just like, it's never ending. So.
Well, there are weird things about her involvement and stuff as well. I mean, I mm-hmm. never thought that she was there, but there's coincidences like her ping, just things that she'd searched for afterwards, like how long are text messages and things kept for, and can your messages be found? Because she deleted her messages, didn't she? And then searched whether they would be able to get them again.
She did. And then she gave them like partial text.
Mm-hmm. And was worried about handing her phone over as well. Like, I understand that there was probably intimate things on there that she didn't want anyone to see. But you're talking about a murder of a family.
But Potato, like, think about it this way. Like, okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Imagine you're having a steamy affair with this dude. And he says, Potato, I love you. My wife and I are separated. We're going to sell the house. You go over there and you're like, there's still pictures on the wall of like him and his wife. Like, what's going on here? And you're kind of feeling a little, you know, insecure already because he's still living in the family home. So you're maybe going to, you know, do some searches, maybe look up his wife to kind of see the state of their relationship, what she's posting about, things like that.
Don't you do that anyway? I mean, people look people up anyway in normal circumstances when maybe you don't think there's anything strange going on. You still search for, like, if you're dating someone, you're going to look them up on social media.
Always. I mean, you're always going to look at the ex.
Yeah.
People always look at the ex.
It's kind of smart to try and figure out who you're seeing.
It is, for sure. But she was also looking up wedding dresses. She was a little ahead of herself.
But at the same time as well, though, like, sometimes people do. I mean, maybe that was one of her dreams and she thought, oh, I've met this man that I want to spend the rest of my life with.
6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Some people can get married in that time, though.
True.
Yeah,
true.
Happens.
True.
And they spent every single day together. He wasn't at home in that whole 6 weeks. And they were going away together. They had a lot of
it escalated very fast. And
so I think, yeah, they just got swept up in the whole thing.
They were in that freaking newlywed stage.
Yeah, exactly.
With no wife to interrupt things, no wife to have to go home to.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about a normal relationship, maybe you'll see each other once a week for a date or something, but they were every single day.
Like, yeah, and Audra just together. Said she thinks they were dating for much longer than the 6 weeks, but when you say that day in, day out, and you're having sex multiple times a day, dude, you're mm-hmm. connecting pretty fast, yeah. Especially for a woman who emotionally connects with sex, and yeah. you're doing it multiple times, and he's doing things to you that your ex wouldn't do, you're mm-hmm. hooked.
Yep.
She was just as hooked as he was.
100%, I think so.
You had this collision and it was just, it was detrimental. Breaks yeah, my heart though, those girls. I just, and I would hate that too, Northern Light. She said, I'd hate to be in the dating game nowadays. Congratulations on 29 years of marriage. That is spectacular.
Wow.
She said 29 years coming up soon. And I thank God every day for my husband.
Oh,
I love that. I love success stories, right?
Yeah.
Some people can tough through things, man, and come out. It's constant work, but congratulations. Here's a question.
It sucks to be dating these days.
Ooh, I wouldn't want any part of it. No.
Nope.
Where was the dog? Did he take him to NK? Ooh, good question. If they were together every day, what did he do with poor Dieter? Was he in a crate?
He was in that crate, wasn't he? I think he was going back to the house to sort him out.
Because I think he had to go home and change, and he went home to shower and stuff.
Yeah, said. But he wasn't staying in the house.
Poor so Dieter. That poor Dieter was already stressed out. He was left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to witness whatever happened.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Tennessee Misty. 27 years of wedded bliss here.
Wow. June, 33 years married, 40 together.
That is something else, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Now everybody's going to be putting their anniversaries. Bye, fly high. Oh, and he was crazy about working out. Remember she was saying he would just fall asleep like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was on a mission to impress.
I just thought it was funny, too, that Anthony was trying to lose weight and he was really, really big. And then he goes to jail for 2 years and he comes out and it's like a different person.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird. Well, I enjoyed this conversation. I didn't read chat very much, but I think that it keeps the convo flowing because, oh my gosh, Scott Scholes.
Where is Scott Scholes? Is he being a brat again?
Isn't he always?
Hater trying to sort me out. What are you talking about?
He doesn't say, he's making fun of you. Sort.
Such a brat.
I'm not gonna lie, that does not sound like, what is that supposed to be? A goat? A donkey?
Donkeys.
It sounds like, I guess it does. It kind of sounds like Eeyore. Here, this is how Tater's gonna sort you out. There's your sorting, Scott Skulls.
Audra calling me out on my snorting.
On your what? Snorting?
When I laugh.
Oh, last night, I wanted to show your photo. I gotta show your potato. Hold on.
Oh, my potato.
Her potato.
Potato.
Yes, it was amazing. Scott Skulls did a good job teaching you.
He really did.
He did. I thought, honestly, I thought this was his photo. Okay, let me airdrop it. Or wait, I can just throw it, show it on my phone. Fuck it. Okay, check it out. You can't see the detail, though. Wait, let me see. That's a little bit better like that, isn't it?
Can kind of see it.
I'll actually post it in the community so everybody can see it. Monica McCorkle. It says on. Off. All right. What? Well, I think that don't even, Scott says, that don't even sound right. Yeah, you did a great job on that. I'm going to actually put that in the community.
Thank you. It did come out way better than I thought it would.
But yeah, great job.
It makes it easy. It tells you exactly what you need to do. So,
who's Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Wilson.
Shell said Mr. Wilson did a great job.
Don't know.
Oh, Wyoming Adventures says, hey, Tater. Great job, Potato.
Thank
Scott
you.
Was jealous of Tater's drawing. Audra D said drawing. Yes, you did. You did a great job.
Thanks.
What's with all the new profile things? Like, why does everybody have a weird... I don't know. Oh, I guess not everybody has those. I thought everybody had those.
Looks like a little bot.
Rose, is that you for real? See, now I'm worried that Rose is being... Because I can't see who has wrenches and who doesn't. Rose, is that your little, like, alien that looks like a caterpillar? Hopefully that's really you.
Let me check.
Mr. Wilson is Scott E. Oh, Mr. Wilson from Home Improvement. Because he doesn't show his bikes. She calls him Mr. Wilson.
It is Rose.
Thank you, Dana. Oh, it is. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Wilson, not Mr. Wilson. I think Mr. Wilson is from Dennis the Menace, Shell. That's Mr. Wilson. Potato can make all kinds of awesome drawings and emoji stickers.
Aw, thanks, Rose.
Aw, it's a... She said it's a robot. Oh, robots.
Why a robot?
I don't know, because she's Rose the Rosie the robot, like Rosie on the Jetsons.
Rosebot.
I want to learn how to draw. I watched Bob Ross growing up. He made it look so easy, and my paintings always look like smudge work. I think you should do a drawing, Northern Light. I think you'll be surprised at what you can do.
Mm-hmm. She and it's played... nice and chilled as well.
Oh my God, Rose, you are such a nerd.
Nightbot.
I don't even know what that is, but you are a nerd. Tell Kim and Craft and I said hello. Oh, looky who's here.
Pain and services with Steve.
He says, Jay, if God had created a woman more beautiful woman than you, he would have kept her for himself. Like, aww. Duh. Talk about blushing. Thank you, Steve. That's really sweet.
Everyone needs a Steve every day.
Teammates, they really do.
Positive affirmations. I think you should draw me. How are we going to draw you?
Well, I don't know. We can just use this sound effect, and I think that will... we can make a drawing off of this sound effect. What do you think? Draw what you think this sounds like.
Ew.
Like a sweet
I can draw
ball,
an oval. I can draw an oval with a twirly tail. If I could annotate on the screen, I would. With a curly tail. And it's going to look like Babe. You know the movie Babe? It's going to look like that.
Ew.
That's what I picture.
A pig.
Oh, Lord. Scott Skulls, it's time to call it a night. Well, Potato, I really, seriously, in all seriousness, I want to thank you for putting together the clips and the notes and the research that you did and all the conversation that we had about this topic. And I really enjoyed this live. I think that it's good to talk things through because you never know what you're going to pick up. You never know what you're going to notice. So,
yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed researching and stuff. It was...
I think it's interesting.
Some things that are the same, you just can't help but look into it. So
yeah, because we were just picking it up just by watching it. Like, oh my God. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. And I know we've got other things planned, but I don't even know. She does not know.
She does not know.
Scott says, I own it. Yeah, well, you don't have a choice because it pretty much came right from your live stream and was sent straight to me. So you really don't have a choice other than to own it at this point. Just that. Dreamcatcher. I have to catch the replay. Yeah, we've been live for almost 2 hours. So
2 hours?
I know, it flew by. It
literally flies.
Literally. It flies literally. By. I just sat and it's just 2 hours. Just, yeah. You sat and 2 hours went by. Bollocks. It's straight bollocks.
It is bollocks.
And it flew by. It did. Thank you, guys. Thank you, all the members that are here. I can't see the greens. I can't see anything on here. Everyone looks the same, but remember me telling you that you can't beat Potato when it comes to research, Jay. I meant it.
Rose, you're so sweet to me.
She really is. What did you ever do to deserve that sweetness?
I don't know.
I don't know, but before we go, I just want to play this again. Your intro is the bomb, man. That's the best. Wait till I perfect it. That's just the rough draft. I've got even more content to add to it now. We love you too, Scott Skulls. We love our tater.
Oh my God, who made this? Ashley Oaks. That would be Jay.
Yeah, for regular guests, I'm going to have little intros, and that's just my little run around with the potato intro. It's great. And I always have joked, I always forgot. I always thought she was from Australia.
It's like a running joke now.
Right, but I end it with the freaking English flag, right? I end it with a bang. I do it right.
Yeah.
A Vegemite sandwich.
Vegemite. We have mom here.
When the song says, I met a strange lady, she made me.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah.
Okay. And then your picture floats up. I'm like, she's going to freaking love this. Oh, man. Oh, you're from Australia. Ho Chi winner. You ain't nothing but Hooch Mama. Hey, Carrie. Wait, who was that? Said, can we board one? Jay, you're hilarious. Let's be friends in real life. LOL. Oh, we just have fun.
What does Marmite taste like?
What's Marmite?
It's our version of Vegemite that they have in Australia. So it's really salty.
It's gross. I had a girl from Australia send me a care package of Australia stuff, and she sent me that. And
you either love it or you hate it. Mm-mm. There is no in between.
Well, I was like, what do I do with this stuff? And she's like, oh, you can put it on like toast or bread.
Or crumpets.
Like, dude, you got any Nutella? Because I think that would taste a lot better. It was very salty.
It is salty. I like it though.
Do you?
mama.
Well, you were probably raised on it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you pick that up at 50 years old and be like, oh, this shit's good? You know, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of a life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You need to kind of build up to it.
You kind of have to be started on the out on the beginning with that. Yeah.
With the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said, Tracy.
Yeah. I was thinking the same
thing. Get out of my brain. All right, you guys, we are out of here. Thanks again for coming in, and we look forward to our next live.
Yeah.
Dance it out. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I don't know how to end this stream. If I end and I don't come back, I love you guys, and I will see you very soon. Thanks, Potato, again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, love you. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
I don't give a damn, I don't really care about you and your problems. I don't give a damn, you talk way too much. I have heard enough about you and your problems. I don't give a damn. So much, and now you